Praise be Jesus and Mary. We, in a certain sense, continue the theme from last night. As I was looking over the little introduction to St. Maximilian in the Missal, we were reminded of one of his, this is towards the end of his life, he would make a statement, and it's commented in the little Missal here that he is remembered for his prophetic words. Hatred is not a creative force. Only love is a creative power. As we contemplate this gift of God to his church, St. Maximilian Kolbe, his inspiration in encouraging us to consecrate ourselves, even to the point of making it a vow, to follow Our Lady for some of us. I know it's not all of us who have done this. But insofar as each of us are responding to that call of God, to whatever degree we manage to reach in this consecration to Our Lady, striving to live it out. St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Louis de Montfort, both recognize there's a different responding to this call. And we have to discern, you know, the depth of that call. Not all people are called to walk in the same footsteps, and some of us have to also live that depth of consecration to Our Lady out in the world for some of us. And so knowing how to apply that, how to live it out in our life, is the challenge that each of us is striving to accomplish. In today's gospel, we hear that our Lord gives us this, I'm going to say, the commandment, which is really the height of all the commandments, to love one another as he has loved us, to lay down our lives as he's laid down his life for us. It's a commandment that's a challenge, and if he hadn't commanded it, we wouldn't presume to be able to do it. It's something that even St. Thérèse of Lisieux would comment, you know, this challenge to love as God has loved us. So it just wouldn't. Why would you even try? I mean, it's just not possible. But we know that God doesn't command the possible. If he commands it, then he gives us the grace to do it. And it's actually true if we discern, it's true for all the commandments. There's really not one commandment without God's grace that we could live faithfully. This is one of the reasons I always liked that. First time I heard it, I said, that's beautiful, that perfect, that beautiful Irish saying, "There but for the grace of God go I." So you look at that guy walking down the street or the poor girl walking down the street and you look down your nose at him and you start thinking how better you are and you begin to wonder, I'm beginning to sound like that Pharisee in the church that said, "Thank you, God, for not making me like that one." And you go, well, who went out justified? The poor sinner in the back of the church beating his chest saying, "God, pardon me, a sinner." Or the Pharisee sitting up in the front saying, "Thank you for not making me like that bloke in the back." "There but for the grace of God go I." Oftentimes we find that we're puffed up like that. Actually, we may not be too far from God showing us just how bad we really can be. Love looks at not condescendingly, but with a loving pity on those who know not better. St. Thérèse, when she passed by I happened to be one at one point, but I learned to mortify my language. Anyway, they were passing by the street on some construction workers, and we all know how foul-mouthed construction workers can be at times. In fact, I learned when I became a construction worker, I never knew you could put such combinations of words together. I can't illustrate here, and I won't choose to do so, but you know, as you get out into the world a little bit, you realize how bad it can be with the language. And I turned around, and St. Thérèse, she was with her friend, and they overheard some of this language. And she turned to her friend, and she says, "Oh, we must have pity on them, because they don't know better, but we do. You know, we mustn't do those things, because we know better. And we should pray for those who don't know better." You know, and even that charity of wanting to excuse our neighbor. Well, maybe they do know better, but then one has to ask in the spirit of our Lord, when our Lord said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What do you mean they don't know what they're doing? They're nailing you to a cross. Of course they know what they're doing. But how well do they really know what they're doing? I mean, our Lord is there is some guilt there because our Lord is asking, Father, forgive them. And then he provides an excuse because they don't understand all of the ins and outs. They don't exactly understand who it is they're really crucifying. Because if they did, Scripture does tell us, if they knew it was the Lord of glory, they never would have crucified him. And so we can, you know, we can, if Christ can have this pity on us, asking us, though he knows we're at some part guilty oftentimes, and yet he pleads with us, Father, forgive them, for they not know not what they do. Then we can understand the generosity of St. Maximin Kolbe and many other saints who serve our Lord out of love and look with love upon their neighbor, and even a loving pity, not an ineffectual pity, not something that, you know, looks at a person and doesn't do anything, but if it's effective, it does something. This is part of what we hear in the second reading. Little children, let us love in deed and in truth, not merely talk about it. You see a poor guy on a street. Of course, I know in this day and age, you do have to discern a little bit, because some poor they're voluntarily poor, and you don't really help them out by just giving and giving and giving. Whereas there are poor that will try to help themselves out, but just maybe that's just where God wants them to be, and he lets them be there so that we can help them out. We have to be careful that our charity doesn't grow cold, and that we're not our neighbor's judge. But it doesn't mean that we don't have to try to charitably help them out. And in this, I'm saying you have to discern. You don't want to just, you know, you see a bum on the street, you don't want to just nearly walk up to him and give him $5. Especially if you see he's already got a bottle in his hand, because he's probably going to go to the liquor store and buy another bottle. That doesn't help him. That's not the way you help a poor man when you see he's done. You're just encouraging him in his vice and becoming an accomplice to it. But to try to help him out, especially when you see there is a willingness to help him out. Sometimes the willingness to help him out is to kind of, you know, charitably exhort him. You know, you're going to die frozen one winter. And you try to exhort him to change his way. And, you know, we say that, you know, I say that knowingly because we actually did make such exhortations to some of our, in another friary where sometimes the drunks would come and beg from us. And we tell us, you know, you're going to end up frozen like that other friend of yours if you don't turn around and knock off the drinking. And so they end up frozen if they don't listen. Charity does try to help in the ways that it's able to do so. You know, it may be clothes, it may be a blanket. You know, of course, you have to make sure they can't go and hock it, which sometimes they, at any rate, they can be quite industrious. And yet we try. This is what St. Maximin Kolbe did in the exchange of his life. He did what he could. He offered his life, and in doing that, he saved all those lives that he was destined to die with, and one other which would profess the sacrifice. And miracles, he said he saw miracles. I'm trying to remember his name right now. The man that, I can't remember the name right now. The name of the man who St. Maximin would sacrifice would live through Auschwitz. And that was incredible because bear in mind, that's in the earlier days of the war in Poland. That man had to live all through the whole thing there in Auschwitz, nearly the whole of it, which was like a record. Nobody did that. It's a miracle that he survived Auschwitz and came out to tell the tale. And why? So that he could bear witness at the sacrifice of a martyr, what a martyr had done for him. May Our Lady help us in our own little ways to offer our lives in the way that God calls us, especially underlining the theme that's throughout today's Mass, that we do it in love. Love is the true manifestation that we love God himself, and loving God in our neighbor is a part of that love. We know that this is it's the second part of the commandment, but yet it's connected to God because we know that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And so to love his image and likeness is also to love him. May Our Lady help us to respond in the way that St. Maximin Kolbe did, in his life with that generous love, even a willingness, if God should so desire it, that we too might lay down our lives for our brothers. Praise be Jesus and Mary.